All right, we're picking up in our Revelation Bible study, the detailed outline, point number 18D, page 22 in the detailed outline, which can be found at firmfoundationri.com. And we're in Revelation chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, which deals with the fourth seal, or the fourth horseman of the apocalypse, the pale horse. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. So here we have the pale horse. We have death personified and affected by many means without discrimination. Hades, here in context, indicates that a majority of those who will be subjected to this judgment will be unbelievers, those who are on the earth at that time. And we know this by comparing Scripture with Scripture. When we look at Revelation chapter 20, in verse 13 we read, "The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works." So this is a reference to the great white throne judgment. Now believers will be acquitted. Believers are justified by faith in Christ Jesus the Lord, by believing upon him, by believing upon his works and promises. Through faith, we have eternal life, and we get to heaven based upon his merits and not our own. But the rest of the folks, the unbelievers, or those who are trusting in works for their salvation, are going to have to go to God based upon their own works. And their own works, however good they are simply not going to cut it. Now, we read in our text here that power is given to them over a fourth of the earth. So this is probably a reference to the population, a percentage of the population that will be on the earth during that time here in the first half of the tribulation. Could be a few billion people probably. And there are four means of mass death. And the first one is a sword. So a sword could indicate war, or it could simply indicate lawlessness, like other violence, like we have in cities like Chicago today. We also have a reference to mass death by hunger. So this is a continuation of the third seal judgment, which was the black horse. There is death by disease and pestilence and natural causes, and also the beast of the earth by the enmity magnified within creation. And because of the scarcity of food, animals will seek out humans for food. So there are going to be four types of, four causes or means of mass death. Now, when we compare these judgments with those in Leviticus chapter 26 verses 14 through 26, we see that the manner of the national judgment for Israel during times where they don't believe is very similar to the manner of global judgment. And that Old Testament temporal judgment is instructive for people of all times and of all dispensations who reject the divine provision. And so we took a look here at the death by sword, by hunger, by death, which is disease and pestilence and natural causes, and the beast of the field. And we see that the Lord's may work in different ways throughout history but that he does not in fact change. And we read of these very sobering words to the nation of Israel, his client nation. But if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgment so that you do not perform all my commandments but break my covenant, I also will do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. And after this, if you do not obey me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heavens like iron and earth like bronze, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. And then if you walk contrary to me, and are not willing to obey me, I will bring on you seven times more plagues according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, destroy your livestock, and make you few in number. And your highway shall be desolate. And if by these things you are not reformed by me, but walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you. And I will punish you yet seven times for your sins, and I'll bring a sword against you that will execute the vengeance of the covenant. When you are gathered together within your cities, I will send pestilence against you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of your enemy. And when I've cut off your supply of bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall bring back your bread by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. So the sword, the hunger, the death by pestilence, and the beast of the earth, these are all judgments. And the Lord doesn't do these things maliciously, but the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but he desires that all men come to repentance. It's actually in his mercy that he brings these things to pass, because nothing else is getting our attention, obviously. So when nothing else gets our attention, the Lord is actually resorting to drastic means to get the attention of the people who are alive on the earth during that day. But most of them will not heed, although the Lord does manage to, in effect, to effect a revival, a global revival during the first half of those tribulation days, as we're going to see when we get to Revelation chapter 7. But one thing at a time, we're now picking up in the fifth seal judgment. And the fifth seal judgment deals with the martyrdom of the tribulation saints. And these are people who are killed for their faith during that point in history. As we said, the Antichrist, he's going to come on the white horse, and everybody's going to think he's all great and wonderful, but then he's going to come on a red horse, and many people will join him in his warfare, but what's going to end up happening as a result is that then the black horse is going to come, and there's going to be a lot of death by famine, and then finally a pale horse, and the whole earth is going to be thrust into chaos, and there'll just be massive tragedies and loss of human life, and just terrible, terrible things that are going to happen in those days. Well, there are going to be people who are going to come to faith in Jesus Christ because they're going to pay attention to the difficulty of the times, and because of that faith, Antichrist, although he first comes on a white horse, is not going to be playing very nice in the sandbox. It's not going to take him long before he starts going after God's people. And we read in Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, the unveiling of the fifth seal. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" And then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. So here we have the martyrdom of the tribulation saints, specifically those martyred in the first half of the tribulation, following the chronology of the book of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 7, verses 13 through 15, we have the elders explaining to John who these people are. These people have a very prominent place in heaven because they were slain for the testimony, and the Lord honored them in their eternal life with rich reward, the arrayal in white robes. And then one of the elders answered and saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them." And the reference to the great tribulation here, if we use the chronological model through the book of Revelation, has to do with the great tribulation that those particular ones underwent within the time period of the first half of the book of tribulation, of the 7-year tribulation in the book of Revelation. You'll hear me often refer to the first half of the tribulation and then the great tribulation as the second half, but these folks experienced great tribulation in their circumstance, even though they lived in the first half of the 7-year time period. And we read that under the altar, the souls of these have an awareness, and this teaches us that the soul goes into the presence of God at death, which refutes the false doctrine of soul sleep taught by some. Some people say, well, you just go into the ground and you sleep until the reunification of body and spirit. No, it doesn't work that way. At the point of death, the Apostle Paul puts it this way, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So what happens is the body goes 6 feet under the ground, and the soul and the spirit arises and goes for the believer into heaven. And that soul, that spirit, has awarenesses of what happened on earth. And in this case, these awarenesses, they're appealing to God for justice. And we read here about the Word of God and the testimony of these great martyred saints. The persecution, of course, is due to adherence to Bible doctrine and the true gospel. These people had nothing to do with religion apart from the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's that Bible doctrine, the Word of God, which cuts to the heart, and which the devil so hates, and that's what he was persecuting here. So again, noting the awareness of these souls of time and the events of the earth, and this lends support to the idea of the same being possible today regarding our dearly departed loved ones. We also have a passage in Luke chapter 16, Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. I'm not going to go there, but if it's in your notes, and if you want to take it down, if you're simply listening, Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, and this is going to support some of the things that we're saying here, that there's an awareness of what's going on earth by those who have passed, both those who have passed to heaven and those who are in torment in the flame. Even the spirits of the unbelievers are tormented from the moment they pass from the earth. There's no annihilation of the soul or soul sleep for the unbeliever. This is nothing to be fooling around with, friends. If you haven't made your peace with God through Jesus Christ, please do it. Do it today. Now, we also know that the authors of this persecution are Antichrist, and we talked about Antichrist and the red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse, and also ecclesiastical Babylon. In Revelation chapter 17, we read about ecclesiastical Babylon and how it was destroyed. And ecclesiastical Babylon in Revelation 17 is one of the few things that's taken out of chronological order in the book of Revelation, because it's put topically next to political Babylon, Antichrist's world system. And ecclesiastical Babylon, that's simply the ecumenical crowd. Whatever you believe, many roads to God. this kind of stuff, and they don't like the Bible-believing people either. We are separatists when we preach that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through Him. Now these believers, New Testament saints, tribulation martyrs, have white robes, and note that the persecution will increase as time goes on.